At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Going on, everybody, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And I know it's been a long time coming, but sitting beside me, the man, the myth, the legend, Big Fizzy.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios once again.
Woohoo! It's been a hot minute.
Man, the hits just keep coming.
Right?
We had the worst ice storm that's ever befallen Texas. Since they've been keeping records, pretty much.
Jack Frost spread his legs and dropped a hot one right on top of us.
So I was in Colorado for a week snowboarding with the family, and it was actually colder in Weatherford than it was way up on top of a mountain, 10,000 feet. And it was snowing there the entire time. We got 29 inches in one night.
Word.
Oh, and the very first day of snowboarding, I had my cell phone in an inside pocket of my jacket. You know, James Bond style.
And?
I was snowboarding around, and I would stop every once in a while to call somebody else. Like, hey, Jacob, you want to meet down at the skier's hut and get a hamburger or something? You
know, slice of pizza.
Same kind of, about halfway through the day, I went to check my phone. Guess what? Pocket zippers down, no phone. I'm like, oh, hell no. Now, you ever lose something, and then you start checking every pocket on you? But once isn't enough. Like, you do it 12 times, and you're like, I'm crazy. Why do I keep checking these pockets?
I know it's
like,
gone.
Like, somehow it's going to be wedged up underneath a fold in the cloth or something. And this is a big phone, right? I got the jitterbug version. I don't buy the little phone. Yeah. I buy the big one because I can't see too good.
That's right.
So, what the kids don't know is we have a family plan where we can track everybody's phone.
And? So we found yours.
We use that to try to track my phone. I found it's only accurate up to like 1,000 feet.
So it really doesn't help. Let's be honest.
Well, I guess it will show you if your son says he's like at his friend's house and he's really in Fort Worth like that. You could tell. But
yeah.
So I know what run it was on. But I'm telling you, it was snowing continuously. So I was literally had to look like a crazy person. I would snowboard 12 feet, make a phone call, listen. Snowboard another 30 feet, call again, trying to hear it. And I would think I would hear it like, man, it's muffled. It's got to be underneath. Couldn't find it. So then I thought, well, maybe it fell out and the thing is wrong. And somebody picked it up, you know, and maybe turned it into lost and found.
Negative. Or
somebody stole it and they're going to use it for some nefarious, you know, charges, you know, whatever. Because I got my Apple wallet on there. I got everything. No, nothing was turned in. So luckily with that same family plan, my wife can deactivate it and all that. So we did that almost instantaneously. Anyways, so I spent like 6 or 7 days with no phone. And I have to tell you, I'm the biggest guy for getting onto my family about never putting their phones down. And I still think they do it way more than me. But I will tell you, not having one for 7 days, it feels weird.
You feel out of touch?
Like, I don't know how many times I'd be like, oh, I need to. Oh, I can't check. I wonder what the weather's going to do tomorrow. Oh, I can't
check. Like we were in high school again.
Yeah, and just like maps, like I didn't realize how much I rely on like just driving somewhere where I've never been that I use them because of my job. I do real estate. So I'm constantly every day I go to 15 different addresses that I've never been to before. And back in the day, you would use a MapsGo or something, but they're not even in business anymore. Like nobody uses a real map. You go into a gas station, you're like, hey, you got a map. And they're like, a what? What is this thing you're talking about? Like it's a piece of paper
with lines on it.
Shows you like all the roads. They're like, huh, never heard of that. And so, it was really strange not to have a phone, but we had a really good time. And then towards the end of the trip, that's when it actually started snowing back home, where Skeleton Studios is, where we live, and it got really bad. So then I got worried that we weren't going to be able to make it home. I'm like, I'm going to have to drive 800 miles at 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But I was wrong. So I was like, I'm going to take a route further south. I'm going to go all the way down to Roswell, New Mexico, then start heading east. And there was snow the entire way, but the roads were fine. They were very dry. And I guess because of it, it actually helped me. People weren't out on the road. So I would only encounter like semi-trucks, very little just passenger vehicles. I would go 100 miles and pass 8 cars maybe the entire time. So it was smooth sailing.
I got you.
I did go through Roswell. I didn't tell Luke because if he knew we were there, we'd have to get out and see a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So he just didn't even know.
It's better that way.
No, he was on his
own. He can go back when it's not here. It's cold.
Yeah, I wanted to stop, but then I didn't. You know how one of those things is it's a typical dad move? Like, you want to just get home. Like, once I'm on the road, let's get there.
Yeah.
Let's not dilly-dally.
I'm with you.
So then we got home, and the problems continued. Everybody's pipes were freezing and breaking. It looked like Armageddon at the grocery store. Everybody ate everything. I mean, like, you could, I'm not talking about bread or milk. I'm talking like everything was gone. So we stayed at home. Luckily, I have a freezer full of meat. We didn't have any bread, but I know how to bake bread. So I made 4 loaves of homemade bread. Kids always like that. And we just hung out and watched TV. And I got my new phone back. And life is returning to normal. So now we're here back in the studio. But it was really bad for a lot of people. Okay, so for an example, I know that a lot of people up north are going to make fun of Texans, right? Like, you idiots, it got cold one time. You guys don't know how to survive in it. But they don't understand our infrastructure here is not set up for that. And it was so different because your house is literally like 400 yards from my house. You were experiencing rolling blackouts where my power was on nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was from everybody in my family. Like, people would call and they're like, we haven't had power in 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's 30 degrees in my house. And I'm like, it's 80 in mine.
Yeah.
Delee's grandmother, she had to actually come and stay with us for a couple days because she had no power.
Yep.
I mean, when you're old like that and the Rona's out and about looking to get at you, I mean, you're trying to not get sick any way possible.
That's true.
So the kids loved it because they got home from their skiing vacation and they had the whole week off.
I've been around the world, it feels like.
You have.
I've been traveling like crazy. So y'all want to know where I've been is... Right after we did the last show, I left the next day and headed to West Texas to the Davis Mountains. I spent 6 days out there with a group of guys.
Yeah, I think you discussed that on the last show.
Yeah, that were awesome. We get done with that, and less literally 36 hours later, no, not even that long. Man, like not long after that, then I headed to Colorado too. So I went, stayed up there. It was 45 and sunny. It was beautiful. The entire time was amazing that we were there. Then... we head home and we're driving home as it's getting colder and we pass Kyle and his family going up.
Yep.
The day we headed home is the day they went up and we were laughing because I'm like, it's going to snow on them the whole time they're there. I didn't know how bad. And then we got home and got to witness, we got to get the stuff as much together as we could get as you prepare, but you can only prepare for so much like you're talking about here. Cause our freeze line's 12 inches, folks. 8 inches in some places. So that's as deep as you have to bury water lines, right? So people, like Kyle pointed out, we're not built for it. Our infrastructure is not built for it. Nothing. We don't have any contingency plan for that. We have no idea that whenever you end up getting 6 to 8 inches of snow dropped on you, let's see, Monday morning at my house, it was 0 with a negative 15 wind chill.
Yeah, the coldest I saw it get.
And it was all day.
When I was coming through Abilene, Texas, at around 10:30 on Monday night, it was -2 Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it was brutal. It really was.
Cold.
But like Kyle said, I was experiencing rolling blackouts. So we would have 30 minutes of power and then 30 minutes of darkness. And then it built to an hour and then it hung out there for a good bit. And then it got down to 15 on, 15 off. But we experienced that for like 3 days, I guess, before it finally come on and held power. Solid. So yeah, it's been wild. We've been stuck in the snow, no power, can't. So that's where all this has been going. All of this lip flapping is to tell y'all that's what's been going down. So it started the whole thing with Kyle's family, and then it just dude, this whole year, like you said, last year it hit us. This year's been something else. I don't think I want to leave the house for a long time now.
Brent, so you had rolling blackouts at your house. I had power the entire time, and Skeleton Studios had zero power.
Zero.
Because we missed an interview with Lon Strickler.
Yep, exactly.
He was supposed to be on Friday, and I had to message him, like, look, Lon, we don't even have electricity.
That was the whole thing, is I couldn't, like I said, is it wouldn't. It would have been different if we could have scheduled to where I had a long stint of power, but it got to the point where you have 15 to 30 minutes on and off and on and off and on and off and on and till you get to where nothing, you just have to unplug everything.
Well, and here's, you know, for those that don't know, the United States has like three major electrical grids. There's the Western electrical grid, the Eastern electrical grid, and then there's Texas. Texas has its own electrical grid. And now I'm a proud Texan, but I will have to say, all the time I constantly hear everybody like, let's secede from the union. We couldn't do it because our electrical grid is, it sucks.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. So all those guys that want to secede, no.
I want those cold weather and Easterner guys and Westerner cold weather folks to get together and come down and upscale our infrastructure electrically.
Yeah, let's plan. Hopefully we're going to be proactive and we'll plan ahead.
Yeah.
So that this doesn't happen. But what I also would like to say before we change subjects real quick is, like, all week long, of course, in the news, they're talking about this is the coldest been since 1878 or 98 or whatever. But they've only been keeping data for how long? They don't know. Like, maybe we were on a 500-year cycle, and this always happens every – you don't know. And you talk about where's the global warming? And then others are saying, well, the reason it got cold is because of global warming. Reality, folks – even in 2021, the meteorologist said we were going to get hit bad that Tuesday. Didn't get hit by nothing. So they don't know nothing.
Yeah, right.
Basically, a meteorologist's job is the easiest job in the planet.
And thank you to everybody that reached out to us, sent us messages, sent us emails. Of course, you can't really respond whenever things are hit or miss. Oh, not to mention the fact that our internet would go down, too. So we had internet outages all through the city and no power. So I was... it was really kind of stuck.
Yep. I appreciate the kind words. I didn't have a phone. Sorry. But
he's chicken. Yeah. So thank y'all so very, very much. And we missed y'all as much as you missed us. And now we're going to get down to it.
Let's do it.
I have got something for you, Philly. Simply, you know, we get where to go here. Simply because we always get stuck. And like I've told you, I'm guilty of the names of the headlines, right?
Yeah. Clickbait.
Click.
That's why it's there.
I think Lon clickbaited me on this one. This is what it says, folks. A winged humanoid seen voraciously feeding in Aurora, Illinois wood. It says, hello. I love you.
Hello.
Won't you tell me your name?
Hello. Yeah.
Hello. I've been wanting to tell you my story ever since I've seen your page. This is what Lon said here. Get it loaded. I had an encounter with a winged bat humanoid creature about 14 years ago. When I was driving my car in the east side of Aurora, Illinois.
Just stop right there. Like, how is your life ever the same? But just say that sentence one more time and let that sink in.
I had an encounter with the winged bat humanoid creature about 14 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, life is different after that, folks.
Yeah. That's something you can never shake that. I was driving to a friend's house with two of my other friends. They did not see it because they were on their phones, like you pointed out, Philly. You know? But I've seen it very clearly. It was around 7 p.m. dusk time. The encounter happened on the corner of Pierce and Wood Street by a bridge. As I was driving on Pierce Street, turning onto Wood, I saw what I thought was a human eating something on the ground wildly, not too far in the trees.
Wasn't that like that guy that ate all those bath salts and was eating the face off that other bum?
That might have been him, yeah.
Like a zombie.
It really caught my eyes. I got closer. I stared
harder.
How
would you not announce it in the car? Like, so everybody would look up from their phone. Like, what the hell is that?
You see that bum eating that? As I got close, I stared harder at the person, thinking it was a bum, here you go, that lived in the woods. But the way it was eating with voraciousness.
It was eating.
And when I saw what it was eating, it scared me. It had a rabbit in its hands, eating the neck with blood pouring out. It was crazy. Now, I feel like there was a little embellishment there, but I'm going to go ahead.
That's okay. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. Go ahead.
I drove very slowly. I couldn't take my eyes off it. My headlights were shining straight into its face. It had pointed ears, brown, burned, ripped-like skin, sharp pointed teeth, glowing orange yellow eyes, pointed long fingers with pointed nails, and it was as big as a human. The master wants you.
Yeah.
With my light shining in its face, it looked up and was blinded. The first reaction was to put its hand in front of its face to block the light. I continued to stare in shock as it looked through its fingers and stared back into my eyes, deep into my soul. I might have added that. Once it acknowledged that I was staring at it, it squared up its shoulders and two wide wings unfolded out behind it. Brown and thin, almost exactly like a bat. And then with one swoop of its wings, it flew into the sky, leaving me in disbelief. I stopped and looked up, but was not about to get out of the car. I drove off scared of what I had just encountered, yelling at my friends if they had seen it. Now, this all happened within 15 or 20 seconds, but it felt like slow motion to me because of all the detail I could see.
15 to 20 seconds is a long time.
Yeah, hold your breath.
That whole time, you're never like, do you guys see that? You wait till it's gone, then you're like, hey, man, did y'all see that giant bat?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, imagine you're looking.
I would be mad at you for not telling me there was a big bat in the road.
You're swiping through Farmers Only or whatever app you're on looking for a good time. And then I'm like, hey, did you see the giant bat eating that rabbit? You would be like, what are you talking about?
Like, what? Yeah. You wouldn't tell your friends? Exactly.
It did. Afterwards.
Yeah. There's no way. I would be, the minute my headlights hit it, you'd be like, what the hell is that? Like you said.
As far as all the descriptions and stuff, this is the part of the story I find untrue, but.
Yeah, right. That he didn't tell his friends. Well, it says it was very scary and I didn't report it because people would think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy. And after these 14 years, I finally started seeing reports that other people had seen it too. I knew I wasn't crazy and I know what I saw. Thanks for taking time to read this and everything that you do, MP.
Very cool story. Check out this story. This comes from a listener of ours named Dee Dee.
Bring it on.
He says, I love your podcast.
Thanks. We love you.
I had an encounter back when I was a teenager. It was in the year 1974. This was in the middle of Wisconsin on our 120-acre beef farm.
What was that?
Wisconsin? I don't know. I guess that's how they say it. I don't know. On our 120-acre beef farm. It says there was forests all around us, and my dad was a hunter, an avid outdoorsman, and loved spending time in the woods. He would take my mom and me to remote areas in nearby Canada, and we would spend all summer up there.
Take off, eh?
I've seen lots of wildlife and heard all types of sounds that they make. My dad would say, oh, that's a moose, or that's a wolf. Sometimes he would even say, that's a cougar. Now, that sound would always give me chills. Although I've never seen one. I was coming up from the barn after cleaning it and milking one of our cows that we had. I used to sing to her as I milked, and she always gave lots of milk. All of a sudden, while doing this, she stiffened up and seemed to get real nervous. Her ears perked forward. No one was home, mind you, but me. And I was walking from the barn back up to the house. That's when the hair on the back of my neck stood up. All of the frogs and crickets stopped. I stopped walking and scanned the woods across the creek by the barn. That's when I heard a growl. A very deep growl, and then a howl unlike I've ever heard before. And my breath got caught in my throat. I told myself, whatever you do, don't run. I put the milk bucket down and walked as fast as I could to the house. Now, I did not tell my dad about it for fear of him laughing at me. The next day at school, I spoke to one of my Native American friends. I told her what I heard. And now, remind you, she knows where I live. She leaned over to me and whispered not to ever talk about this to anyone again. She told me about the Skinwalker. It was a reservation not far from our farm. I took her advice, and I didn't speak about it for years. 10 years later, I read The Beast of Bray Road. We moved after that to southern Missouri. I hope you can use this on your podcast. I love your show, Dee Dee. So, this is one common thread in all of the stories I've ever heard of Native Americans talking about skinwalkers. They don't want you to talk about it. They're always that's like always the first thing.
Skinwalkers
right?
are like Fight Club.
Do not, or like CrossFit.
No, opposite of CrossFit. You got to tell everybody about CrossFit.
That's true.
That's like veganism. But when you Fight Club, you can't talk about it.
That's right. It's like they like the skinwalkers themselves almost gain strength or power from you talking about it and spreading rumors about it. Because that's what they always say is, right? Like, don't talk about it.
Yes.
But it makes you wonder, are that what these dogman sightings are? Are skinwalker sightings? I still always think of the story your dad told us when we were young. Like, that's always stuck with me.
Yep.
Even if it's not a real story, it shows you the impact of a really good story because I can still clearly remember that.
Yes.
And I think that's the way people are when they read these stories or hear them on podcast or see something, you know, from a speaker, a lecture hall or something.
Mm-hmm.
You will hear some certain story, no matter what it is, and it'll stick with you your entire life.
Yeah.
For whatever 100%. Reason, there's a few stories that always stick with me. And
you'll never shake.
When I ever think of a skinwalker, I instantly think of the story your dad told us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what, you know what? There's no better segue than that to jump in to this week's segment as I talk about some skinwalkers and some werewolves and possibly some, and kind of even touch on what Kyle was just talking about. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about the Texas Wolfman. I'm going to be talking about upright hyenas, and possible skinwalker. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. All right, folks. Ooh, I'm so glad to be able to sit and chat and talk with all of y'all. It feels like it's been forever because it has been, but I am ecstatic. And I hope, like we alluded to, I hope you enjoy this. I don't know why I have this fascination now with these hyena, you know, like these spotted, but they're not spotted. They've been spotted as upright, not really dog men, but hyenas or I don't know why. I don't know why that hyena thing has really got me going. I guess because I remember several years ago seeing a photograph circulating on the internet where there was an African gentleman and he had a hyena on a chain, like walking it down through the streets. And I remember thinking like, holy hell, like there's nothing any more evil looking, like a sinister looking pet. Than like a hyena. Because first of all, let's be honest, they don't look real. Like when you see one, you're like, man, that thing is so odd. It's like a platypus, right? It just doesn't make sense. So again, monkeying around with this time of being frozen and iced in and going through all this stuff. And then I'd had it set aside and looked at it before. And then now we got into it here. There's a lot more encounters of more wolfmen and things than I expected to find here in the state of Texas. I was pleasantly surprised, and I know that we have discussed, and I'm sure all of you listening have kicked it around over the years, too. Why is it in the places that we would think you would see a high activity of Sasquatch, you also seem to find these dog men? And, I'm waiting for a story of witnessing a fight between, like, a dog man and a Bigfoot. I mean, if there's any of you artists out there listening, throw one of those together. I would love to take a look, share it, promote it. Just let me know. Y'all got any cool cryptid art or just cool art period? Just message us. We'd be glad to share it. But a fight between Bigfoot and Dogman, and I'd rather see that over Kong and Godzilla any day or day. So for all of that, I'm going to get into a few of these encounters and discuss with you the oddities that I have come across. One of them starts in Cass County, Texas. For those of you that don't know, Cass County is right along the border of Texas. And like when I say right along the border, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, it's right up in those corners, right? So it's right along the Arkansas corner there in Texas. And this actually happened. Let me see if I can slap you a date on it. I'm pretty sure it was a while. It wasn't recent. Well, there may not be a date on it, but it was a hot minute, right, when this thing was on here. And this is what the person writes in and shares their tale, ST, shares this tale of this. It goes on to say that I was driving on a rural road in Cass County, Texas. There was not a lot of traffic that night, So this person said had their bright lights on. And as we were passing through a particularly wooded stretch, woods on both sides of the road, no street lights, nothing like that. We came over a hill, a little slight rise in the road, and there it was about 20 yards ahead. It was massive. It was very dark in color and was walking across the road upright on two funny looking legs. Sorry, y'all. And right then, of course, when you hear the funny looking legs and you start thinking, it's not Bigfoot, right? The minute I ever hear anything when it starts talking about funny looking legs and an upright walking anything, your mind jumps straight to dog men. If you just know what it is, because they're like dogs, right? They don't bend right. Says it was massive, again, very dark, walked across the road upright on the funny-looking legs. It started to slow down, and we just watched in shock as it crossed the road in front of the car and then ran off into the woods. We drove in silence for a minute, of course, trying to process what we had just seen. As we started to talk about it, we realized that we had both seen it, gave similar descriptions, and that there was no way it was a human or it was bear-like, and what we both saw we agreed upon being more dog-like rather than ape-like, and it frightened us both pretty bad. But they kept going back to this, saying this, that the legs were bizarre. Long, skinny, but bent backwards. Get a load of that, right? Bent backwards. If that makes sense. It appeared to be covered in black fur, and we could see a long snout, which made us think dog. Could not make out ears or eyes. It never looked directly at us, so we had a side profile view, and that was it. It literally looked like a giant wolf walking on its hind legs across the highway. And now, if I had to guess, it must have been about 7.5 to 8 feet tall. It was huge. And it did not appear to be afraid or even acknowledge that our car was headed straight for it. And of course, you know, driving home, they said they noticed. Now, this is where it also gets pretty wild. As we're driving home, I noticed something was running alongside the car. It was just behind my window. Right back to the back, said the speedometer read 40 miles an hour. So I looked over at my friend driving, was scared to death, just standing on it. Right. So this is a whole nother sighting, seeing all this stuff. They see this other thing appears, and they go on. This one that this person saw said it had reddish brown, sticky looking hair. But again, this occurred in Cass County. So two different sightings, same county. Again, this area is known for more Bigfoot sightings, yet here are two what appears to be canine. Both of them report seeing canine animals, large, except one can apparently run 40 miles an hour. Now, it doesn't say if it's upright running. We have to assume it's on all fours running 40. I mean, right? With little funky legs, like, I don't know if it could really pick it up. What's the pace? You going to pump your hands, drive your elbows, leave your chest, you know, what are you doing? I mean, I can you imagine a dog track runner like up on all fours? That'd be hilarious. So again, this person, I do like how they jump into saying maybe it was a skinwalker, right? Maybe we have skinwalkers over in that neck of the woods. Maybe there's some shaman. Maybe there's something evil lurking and it makes its way over. I don't know. But I found this written by Lisa Lee Harpwaugh. And she had posted this up, and there's places you can find this everywhere. And it's called the Man Wolf, and it's a legend of Marshall, Texas. Now, Marshall, Texas is right there. This is all taking place in the same area. This is all up at the upper end of all the large forestry areas all through East Texas and that whole side area. And so this is a really interesting story I'm going to read to you. And it says this. As a young child, my sweet old great-granny, great-great-granny Lee from Homer, Louisiana, would tell me about the Wolf Man of Marshall, Texas. She said she had seen the beast herself as it attacked a neighbor's pig. Now, she swore on an old family Bible that what she saw was not a man nor a beast. She said it was a man wolf and could be nothing more than that. Now, this beast man wolf, my dear old Granny Lee often described as people actually seeing what was a half human, half wolf. It's been noted and told that they are over 6 foot tall when they stand upright. They have large yellow orange eyes and long white sharp teeth and a blunt long snout. His face is always not quite a man's and not quite a wolf. So what they're describing sounds like caught in between the change, right? I do like the idea of where they're talking about the yellow or the orange eyes. We don't get a lot of reports of that. And you don't really get a lot of reports of the teeth. But I mean, if you're watching it attack a pig, I can only assume you've seen it. It says, though there are some reports that are covered with a full coat of hair and others tell you the coat being sparse and patchy. Though reports sometimes differ, there are common factors. And that the werewolf's face was always seemingly flat, blunt and yet pointed, and very grotesquely long. The man wolf of not so long ago was often encountered along Stagecoach Road. Now, this, of course, is one of the most haunted hotspots in all of Marshall. Others say it was Dead Woman's Road or Sedbury Street, as it is now known. This werebeast animal, or as some call it, a dog man, was known for slaying sheep or a cow where it stood in the blink of an eye. They say the thousands of chickens they kill could feed the whole state of Texas for a year. Now, don't forget, she writes, that the many stories of them killing possibly a man, woman, or child or two for good measure. The old stories around here you will hear most often is poor old Miss Ethel Briggs. Now, get a load of this, folks. Now, obviously, it's discussed over in this area of Texas. Right? It's just discussed openly if they're talking about it could kill enough. It's killed enough chickens, or these animals have killed enough chickens to feed the state of Texas. I mean, I had no idea it was going on that heavily over there, right? I mean, we get some crazy stories and some really interesting leads and things that are dumped from East Texas that we get where you're like, oh, man, I did not know that was going down. But to think it's more commonly spoke to, and I have told stories, too, about Daryl, a good friend of mine that lives in East Texas, and some other friends of mine that have lived in there or traveled through there, the things that they have seen and the encounters that they've had. So it is kind of a given, just like any other time. When you spend time in the woods or around a rural group of people that are, let's be honest, for the lack of a better term, natives to the area, they seem to know, right? Like, you know, like Kyle brings up, we always bring up, don't turn your back on the natives. You have to listen to what they say before you ever, you know, really go out looking or really do anything. And that's kind of what this seems like. It seems like there was a lot more stuff known about it than it's being let on. So back to Miss Ethel Briggs. Says here that she was a lonely widow woman whose husband and young son were reportedly out one evening and killed by the man wolf. Says Ethel's husband used to raise all the normal things and it took to survive the daily life. So I'm assuming he's got cattle, pigs, you know, all this. Says one day he found where something had broken into his chicken coop and killed some of his livestock also, and then carried the bodies away. He then found chewed up pieces showing real signs that they had been killed and eaten. So Mr. Briggs sets out to trap this thing, and he's going to kill whatever it was, but he knew that it was something large. He assumed large coyote, maybe even a mountain lion. So it says here that Ethel's husband knew what he had to do. So he went out that night, and as the story goes, he never returned. Now they found, get a load of this, his foot with the toes chewed off the next morning, lying by the front door, and found his left arm missing 3 fingers and a half a thumb near his barn. His head was by the creek, missing its nose, ears, and tongue. And of course, his lips were chewed off, and the area of his cheeks showed deep, large punctures and tooth gouge marks. So, right? Could you imagine even stumbling upon that? No, thank you. Says the very next night, her youngest son was taken before her eyes. He was the redheaded son who had set off looking with his mother for the rest of his dad's chewed up remains to bury in February on that cold day. The very next morning, the boy was found. At least a large part of his upper torso was found, just a near 5 miles away. And the sheriff was called into to come in there and investigate this boy's death. Now it says here that Miss Ethel said that she had seen the beast when the sheriff got there, and that she had buried only the 3 large pieces of her husband's carcass behind the great big field that he used to till. She went on to say that she and her 4 other children had found them scattered around the property. She said what she saw was not that of a man or just a mangy old rabies-infected dog, but it was more than just a very large animal, that it walked like a man with a strange and apparent limp. She also stated that it had ran off on all fours with her husband's leg in its mouth. Get a load of that. So the story goes, as I just explained it, this thing was killing people. And everybody's like, eh, well, I guess, you know, whatever happens, happens. Now, you jump around, and I have talked about this before, and I maybe even have touched on one in San Angelo. San Angelo couldn't look more different than Marshall, Texas, if it tried, right? Like, it couldn't be more of a different topography ever than where it is. And this happened back in 2015. An elderly woman was driving with her niece. They were near San Angelo. They had their pup with them. The puppers needed to get out, do its number threes. So they hopped out, and they said as they were waiting, a very large hyena-like creature came under a nearby fence and attacked their dog. They said this creature then proceeded to stand up on two legs and walk back towards the fence, at which point the elderly woman, God bless Grandma, attacked this creature with her cane, allowing her dog to scamper away from its grasp and back to their van. The dog had a punctured lung but survived. Police investigated the area, and they told the woman that they believed what they had encountered was actually a coyote. But it says here that the niece and the grandma both believed differently. Well, no joke, you both believe differently. I love how they tell you what you've seen. Now, I know, and we've gone through this, you don't want to tell people, yep, there it was. You saw the upright hyena that lives out here. You can't tell them that stuff. But to just look somebody in the eye and go, you saw a coyote. You're like, dude, I know what a coyote looks like. Wasn't a coyote, right? It's a 6-7 foot dog walking on two legs. Grabbed old Mr. Fluffles by the lips, right? Tried to tear him off. So I don't. To me, it's I would like to look back. I'd like to be able to find that police report. Not even how hard that would be, but imagine finding if you could get that police report, even if they filled one out. Hell, they might not have even filled one out. They might have just been like, hey, look, your dog got grabbed by another dog. These two old gals. What we're not finding out is the women, not to take away from them, but we don't know. Maybe they're not from this area. Maybe they were just passing through. Maybe, you know, there's all these different variables we don't know, but all we can take is the story. Something large come out from underneath the fence, which makes it sound like it was in somebody's backyard, grabs old puppers and decides, all right, he's coming with me. Or could the fence have been a fence that was at the back of, say, an apartment complex or a housing addition or wherever she's at, and this fence backed up to some large plots of property or woods or around the lake, and this thing just happened to be cruising through there and thought, hey, look, there's an easy meal. Didn't even see the women. Just saw the pup, right? Went straight for the dog. I don't know. It's a very, very entertaining story. But it's not only happening here in Texas. This is the one that I really was like, dude, this is pretty wild. This took place in Baton Rouge back in the mid-70s. Hey, just so happens I took place in the mid-70s. So, hey, what up? This came from another podcast. I believe it's a podcast, but it's called The Paranormal Roundtable. And they were talking about a case that involved a family member. And that this case kind of sparked the interest. And listen to this. It says this. This fella says his grandfather, a man named J.D., a truck driver, and his grandmother, Sophie, were driving near Baton Rouge when they observed something come out of the woods and move towards the road on all fours. As they approached it, the creature, which they described as looking like a hyena, stood up on two legs. The back legs were short, while the upper body part was very bulky. Now, the grandmother thought it was the weirdest thing. So the host talks about spoke to her in 2005 before she had passed away and said that her story had never changed. Now, it goes on that the grandfather said that he had seen some other stuff while driving and even had an encounter with something strange near Marfa. But this is the part that I really like. The grandfather claims to have seen in this Marfa area bipedal coyote-like creatures or coyote people in a small canyon. Folks, this is what I've been waiting for, right? That's where this part of the story ends. but at least there is tales of coyote people. I was wondering, how come they, if they're big, how come they can't be small, right? We've talked about the Fae. We've talked about the Dwindi, those little small Native Americans. We've told all these stories, and then we hear the big ones too, right? Now we have another confirmation. There has to be some coyote people. But if you keep heading south from Louisiana, you keep making your way south, you end up in Florida. Well, back in southwest Florida near Sarasota in the 1980s, which I'm sure, I wonder if it was popping off like cocaine cowboys back then, right? This person writes, for over a week, our neighborhood had a series of what I believe was a stalking werewolf. It was June, I think, and around 9 p.m. I was out back on the patio. At that time, no one had fences around their property because all of us knew the other families around the area. The only exception was the family across the street from us. They had a 7-foot-tall cinder block wall behind their house. Holy crap. Of course, holy crap wasn't written, folks. Holy crap. A 7-foot-tall cinder block wall. What are you keeping in there, player? What do you got, like, y'all raising rhinos? I'm like, what's going on? I understand, like, a little privacy fence, but good Lord, now you're like cell block 6? What do you got keeping your kids in there? Goes on to say that they had a large wooded piece of property and kept equipment out there. The dad was in construction, and the wall enclosed 3 sides of the property. So there we go. Yeah, the other one was probably their house. So I get it. You want to keep your stuff in there. That makes good sense, right? If you got construction equipment, somebody's going to drive through your fence. It was hot out and a slight breeze, no clouds, and the stars were out. Good evenings. As I sat there, you could hear the dogs in the neighborhood begin to bark. Then everything got quiet. A lone howl started, so I howled back. Yeah, well, why not? Everybody, let's all howl back. Seems like a great thing to do. Goes on to say that I do this rather well. I'd watch Nat Geo and would mimic wolf cries. Anyway, this went on for about 5 minutes. Each time the howl from the other end got closer. And down the road are train tracks that run north to south. The sound seemed to be coming from that direction. I started to get spooked as the howling stopped. Our yard had bushes and trees on the side where the sound had came from. I'm going to stop right there and tell y'all, I don't know much, right? I'm not a smart man, but I can tell you this. Don't encourage it. If it's howling, let it howl. It's better to play real quiet. Like, let's get real quiet and go back in the house. You don't want this thing showing up. Apparently this person did. Says the hair on my arms and neck started to stand up, so I felt like I should go in. Yeah, no joke. As I stood, I heard movement by the bushes. Oh, you just had a movement. I glanced over and saw something move. I didn't wait to see what it was, so I booked it into the house and stood by the door, which had glass panes in it. I watched as something very large and dark moved about the bushes. It moved away, and I could no longer see it from my vantage point. I went to the front porch to look out the windows, hoping to get a look at whatever was there, but it never came out that way. So I went to bed and to read for a while to calm down. You're a better person than me, man. Ain't no way I could calm down by reading. I can calm down by loading my handgun. About less than an hour later, my brother came home. He came to my room as white as paper. He was shaking all over with his eyes the size of saucers. Asked him if he was okay. Now, my brother is the sort that has an explanation for anything unusual. And he's also a big guy. So for him to be in this state was not normal. He said, I need you to come with me right now. I'll explain when we get in the truck. Well, I was still dressed, so I got up and went with him. When we got outside, I asked, what's going on? He told me there was something in the road by the tracks he needed to show me first. Well, I was not happy about that, as I had just had my own experience with something from that way. Well, as we got there, it looked as if something had exploded all over the road. There was blood everywhere as if something was mowed down in that spot, but there were no body parts anywhere. My brother related then what he had seen coming down the road. Get a load of this, y'all. This is the story the brother relates. I was coming home, and as I got closer to the tracks, there was this huge thing lying in the road. I thought it must have been a mastiff or Great Dane in the road, but as I pulled up to it, it didn't look like a dog I'd ever seen. It was hairy. Its head and nose was twice the size of a dog. The body wasn't a dog, just dog-like, but much, much bigger. It was all over the place. There was an arm on the road, not a dog, a human arm. There was no trace of anything when we got there, and it was only minutes that it took for us to get there. I said to get the hell out of there now, and we went back home. I told him what I experienced just before he got home. A couple of days later, my sister came to me and said she had been seeing a large dog prowling around at night. It was huge, and she had seen it across the street as she sat on the porch. I told her what my brother and I saw, and not to be outside alone until we could find out what it was. So we got together and decided to stake out the yard over the next night. Sure enough, it was back in the neighbor's yard. This thing was about the size of a Shetland pony, black in color. We had flashlights and turned them on it, and it took off to the back wall behind the house. Their dog was going off like crazy, and they had a small terrier. We watched this dog thing scale the wall. The neighbor came out to see what was going on, and we shouted, "There's something in your yard!" He went back in and grabbed his pistol and went around the back, but at that time, it had gone. And folks, that's where it ended. That was it. That was it. They couldn't track it down. They couldn't. That's all they found. What could that be? I guess you could say it could be a bear, right? And people maybe that had never seen bear, like a bear would probably fool me. Like I've told y'all about the encounter I think that I'd had with it before, about I showed up to Red River, New Mexico after driving all night to go snow skiing, brought the family. There was a whole bunch of us. Of course, you know, dad drives all night, right? So dad's tired. He's tired AF, right? Like he's exhausted. So what happens? I go to take the trash we had in the car to the dumpster there where we were staying. Like I had literally been there like 10 minutes. It's like 6 a.m, right? Sun's coming up. I don't know. I go to throw trash in there and there is a bear beside the dumpster. Like I'm like 5 foot from it. Really, really, that'll wake you up in the mornings when you don't expect that. Flatlanders don't need to see creatures like that. And when you see that, you're like, wait a second. So at night, if I didn't know, right, if I was younger, didn't know and had never really been involved, maybe a bear would fool you. But it doesn't sound like a bear. It doesn't sound like it moves like a bear. It doesn't sound like it acts like a bear. It sounds like, well, and first of all, too, I don't know enough about them. How, I mean, would bear come back night after night after night if you didn't have anything out for it? Like, I know they come for trash and food, but so I don't know. So I found something else. Now, we're going to jump this. This goes in with the hyenas, right? I can't leave it alone. Now, this isn't even in the States, folks. This is in Zimbabwe. Now, it would make sense you would see hyenas in Africa, I guess. But when I tell you about this, this is something really wild. This incident took place near the Dombashwa Caves in Zimbabwe's Mashonaland East Province back in 2010. Don't ask me to repeat that. I don't think I could ever do it again. There were three individuals who regularly snuck into this area to drink and hang out, right? Apparently, this whole area, there's not a lot of security. So one night, they're all in there. They're having a few drinks. They're just kicking it, chilling it. Probably got some ladies with them, if I was guessing. Who knows? Maybe got some young dudes with them. Who don't know, man? We're just all having a good time. It was late at night, and they sat there discussing their problems and generally how bad the country has gotten. Oh, I see where this is going. I see. This is just guy's night out. That happens. All right. As they were doing this, they started to hear laughter coming from a nearby bush, or the brush, I'm sorry, in the woods. Initially, they thought it was something laughing at them, and they just decided to ignore this. They continued talking, but that laughter came again, this time annoyingly loud. They turned to look at that brush, only to reveal green eyes looking at them. I'm sorry, I keep getting off on a tangent, folks. Every time I see these things, this is what goes through my mind reading this, the green eyes. Y'all remember Big Trouble in Little China? She has green eyes. That's what I'm thinking, right? So the thing that was given the green eyes that they said were about 7 foot up off the ground. Says they were stuck there just staring at these 7 foot up in the air green eyes. says this creature steps forward from the brush to reveal under the moonlight that it had a head of a hyena and fur with black spots on it. They couldn't really see what color the fur was, but they could tell that it was much lighter colored. It had a hunched back with lean, muscular structure, and it was standing on two legs, but they didn't notice what the legs were like. They did notice the claws on its hands. Yes, this thing had hands. It roared at them like a lion would, and that sort of jump-started them into running. And for a short while, they could hear it chasing them. But then it stopped. Now, they kept running despite the fact that it had stopped chasing them. And they ran all the way to the main road and all the way to the shops. And they agreed not to talk about it or to tell anyone about it. Well, somebody lied during that agreement because now we got this story. So again, folks, what the heck is going on? Now, we've talked about in the past different Bigfoot species, right? The three-toed tracked ones here in Texas, that the skunk apes in Florida are actually smaller than what they see in the Pacific Northwest, even what they see in Alaska, that size changes, color changes, thickness of fur changes, length of fur changes. And then we started hearing about dogmen, and we've always laughed. Could there be other dogmen? Could this hyena thing be nothing more than a skinwalker? Could it be? I can't think right off the head of or off the top of my head of any spotted dogs other than like heelers. You know, you see some heelers, you see some hunting dogs have spots on them, but not a consistent spot pattern like a hyena would have, right? Like a jaguar. Like it'd be like saying a calico cat and a jaguar are the same thing when you see them. But you know, it's not. You know what I'm getting at? It's like, yeah, you see mottled dogs. Some dogs have spots, but they don't have the spotting on them like a hyena does. So when you see an upright hyena or even hyena in general, you're going to know, right? Especially like they're talking about. It's funny that they talked about a narrow waist and a broad chest. Whereas if you stood hyena up, that's pretty much what it looks like. It's sloping, narrower hips, wider chest, things along those lines. It just makes me wonder, though, when you start to, and why I think of Africa as having shamans. I guess because I watched the old made-for-TV series Shaka Zulu back when I was a kid, right? And that a woman with like the milky eyes, and that just scared the hell out of me. So that's what I'm thinking of, right, is this kind of creature. Knowing the story, too, of the shapeshifter or the alleged shapeshifter that Mr. Fritz, one of my old friends, passed away years ago that I've told you about with him with his grandpa or whatnot and the Native American woman that they had found and all of this. Going along those lines, I start thinking about skinwalkers. But the one thing that I keep playing in my mind, and I probably not have shared this, is in my ideals with the skinwalkers, they don't seem to be a cross. Like lots of times, like you see them, like they become the animal, they stay the animal. They don't do a blend unless it's, I guess maybe there's some evil to it, some darkness to it, whatever's going on. So I'm kind of at a loss. Is this a different breed of dog man? Is this simply a skinwalker? I couldn't imagine that there being a breed of hyena dog men when we don't have hyena, right? Not here in Texas, not here anywhere other than in private collections, probably, and in zoos and whatnot. But again, how would that make a consistent group unless it's something? And why would you pick it unless it's something that a shaman does or a skinwalker does? But why would you pick hyena? What would make you go hyena when you could just go German Shepherd or just black werewolf like we've had these reports on? Just like somebody. It almost feels like it's being manifested, does it not? Like our minds are, we love the change. We love the ideas to spice things up. Maybe we're manifesting it. Maybe it's all BS. I don't know. But the idea that this stuff has been around and these people are telling these stories, I don't think it is. Again, I think this marks up into the I really can't explain how wild this is. But the idea of there being hyenas is something that I truly enjoy. The upright walking canines or something, because it's different. But an upright walking hyena with that laugh that they were reporting and these crazy colored eyes and the fact that it had hands, not claws, not, but it had hands. Dude, that thing right there would be terrifying. I hope you enjoyed it. Really glad to be back. We're going to take a quick break. Kyle and I will bring that bad boy back in and we will wrap this sucker up. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. right, all right, all right. Here we go. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Yes, yes. Giant 8-foot hyenas, dogmen, Texas werewolves. Very strange. I still can't shake the idea of Texas hyenas, but it just, it is what it is.
I wonder why there's never like dingoes.
That's a great point.
You know, why hyenas?
Why not? Also, why not? And like I touched on too a little bit, folks, I'm going to look more into the coyote people, the little coyote folks that the one person had talked about that he had seen driving the truck driver. I am going to look more into that. It's, you know, because Kyle and I brought it up, hell, 6-8 months ago, a year ago, maybe longer than that, about coyote people. So it's something that,
yeah,
that I've definitely got to check out. But why do they not have, like, you see dog men, how come you can't see, like, Chihuahuas or terriers? Or like, could you imagine, I don't, what would be more creepy, to see one giant werewolf, now that you, a dog man, now that you have, now you've been introduced, you've seen renditions, you've heard stories, or what if you saw, let's say one evening you stepped out and was looking out off your back porch and you saw 6 or 8 upright Chihuahuas walking around like that, like in a group together, moving around.
Whenever I think of like what you're talking about as regular dogs, I think of like a Snoop Dogg video. Remember when they all transformed into dogs?
Yes.
Like he transforms,
yes,
into like a Doberman.
Yes.
Some girl turns into like a Shih Tzu.
Well, I always think about like Critters. But I'm now imagine, you know, because just something about a large, if you just saw one moving, it might not be so weird. But if you saw like 6 or 8 of them.
The Krites.
You,
how many of those have you seen? Were you even aware there's like 10 of them?
No, dude, I've probably only seen 2.
That was me. But Luke has found like there's like 10 more.
Wow.
And they don't get any better.
Oh, they steadily get worse?
I haven't watched all 10.
But it's going that direction is what you're telling me?
Yeah, the same with Puppet Master. Now, I have had to sit through about 7 of those.
Well, you know, whenever they circle the drain, it comes faster. So, yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Right? Speaking of coyote people, whatever happened to the damn cat people in Jason Stackhouse?
This gets him going every time. In True Blood.
There was a storyline that just, like, they just left. And it was never brought up again.
It's over. Yeah, it's done. They don't care. We can't have an offshoot of cat people.
I want to know what happened to them.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I bet they're still living in squalor somewhere.
So that was another thing while we were frozen in and couldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not been very many movies to watch. So I ended up renting a couple, and I'd have to tell you, they were a big letdown.
What did you try? What did you watch?
News of the World with Tom Hanks.
Bummer, huh?
It's a real stinker.
Okay.
Basically, nothing happens, folks. I mean, nothing. He finds an Indian girl. Ends up taking care of her. That's it.
There you go. Save your money. Go ahead. And what was the other one?
Let me think. I'm trying to think of what the other one was.
Must have left a really good impact. We'll move on.
Yeah, no, it wasn't very good. And both of them were like $20 each. But oh, yeah. You have nothing to do.
Yeah. It's, you know what? I can't wait to see the boom of entertainment when all this lifts and moves on and they start filming and doing more. Because I just feel like the floodgates are going to open. I feel like we're going to be inundated with so much stuff to watch that it's going to be overwhelming. I really do.
I hope so. Because there's several movies that were ready for release that didn't come out. And they're holding on to them.
I'm still like, waiting on Antlers, man.
Waiting on Antlers? I'm waiting on the new Top Gun.
Yeah.
Waiting to see that. There's a couple others. I mean, there's lots of them.
Yeah, I've been waiting. And it is. It's making me crazy. Speaking of making me crazy, folks, I have one more I want to share with you real quick. I think... this is something that really came down. This came from thedrive.com. One of the listeners sent this to me. It says, airliner encountered unidentified fast-moving cylindrical object over New Mexico. This was posted by Tyler Rogaway on February 21st of 2021.
Oh, man. Tell me more.
It says, American Airlines Flight 2292, an Airbus A320, flying between Cincinnati and Phoenix on February 21st, had a bizarre close encounter with what its crew describes as a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile, moving extremely fast over the top of their aircraft as it cruised along, and you ready, folks? 36,000 feet and 400 knots.
Whoa.
The incident occurred over the remote northeast corner of New Mexico to the west of the tiny town of Des Moines. Steve Douglas, an experienced radio interceptor and the proprietor of Deep Black Horizon, told The War Zone that he was recording from his arsenal of scanners when he heard the strange transmission. The war zone has received over an hour of audio that Douglas has provided to us from before and after the strange radio call. We're working to authenticate it from the FAA, it says here, and get further information and comment from the agency on the event. They say that we've also reached out to American Airlines for additional details of what they might be able to provide. So my question is this. What they describe seeing is a large cruise missile-shaped thing. But obviously, it's not a missile.
Right.
It's just hanging out above them and then just moves on off.
And it was over New Mexico.
Yep.
So they know that there are test areas.
36,000 plus feet. It sounds like it very well could be one of our aircraft.
That's what I'm saying. Spotted. There are testing facilities in that area. But you know, why does it seem like this stuff's ramping up? Or is it because it's becoming out there? People feel more likely to come forward, where before this, those airline pilots would have been like, "No, we're not saying nothing."
I tell you what it feels like to me, and I don't even want to say this.
Alien invasion?
Nah. Well, everything that's been going on the last 4 or 5 years feels like we've been legitimately, like we're all in the Matrix. Like we're all in a movie.
So I was just reading an article.
And it feels like time's speeding up. It feels like things are changing. Yeah, dude, I don't like what's going down.
When it comes to the alien invasion, I was just reading an article not too long ago, and I don't remember where it was at. I'll see if I can find it. But they were talking about USOs, that the aliens mm-hmm. live underwater. And with all these sightings that the Navy has had in the last couple of years, not just our Navy, but several navies, that the aliens are actually living under the water, which would be a perfect place. And this person was going into some of the stories of the Bible and how the translation is wrong on several of the famous stories. And like the story of Jonah and the whale, remember he goes and he gets swallowed by the whale, mm-hmm. lives in the whale for 3 days.
It's a ship.
It's a spaceship.
I got you.
He yep. lived inside of this craft under the water.
Is it not Ezekiel? What is it that's got, maybe it is Ezekiel, where they talk about the wheel in the
yeah,
sky.
Yeah, that's Ezekiel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it was very interesting. And they were pointing out, and the whole angle was that our ancestors knew that these things were living in our oceans, and that like a lot of the creepy animals that you see swimming around in the sea are their design.
Or just all that. I got you. Hey, that may be where octopus came from.
Or what's the lantern fish? It's got the
oh yeah, yeah, the thing that dangles over in the front and all that. And they still find with the deep dive cameras and the subs, they're still finding things that they had no idea even existed down there.
The ocean is a creepy place.
Yeah, dude, the creepiest. I would rather go to space than the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
100%. If you said, I will send you into space, you can orbit the planet, you can go whatever. All right. Or you can go to the bottom of the ocean. I'd say, shoot me to the moon, player. I'm not going down there. There's evil down there. And I ain't about that.
Well, just in the last couple of years, I mean, 10, 20 years ago, we were told that, you know, the chances of finding a planet like Earth in the solar system, in the cosmos, is very rare. And now we're realizing that that's not true at all.
Yeah.
It looks like there's a lot of it around.
Exactly.
And a lot of it a lot closer than you would think.
Yeah. It's just odd to think that it's not bigger news, that we've discussed this before. Right now, at this time, there is so much proof that there are extraterrestrials living in our oceans, and the government has come forward saying they are out there and we don't know what to do with them. You would think that every fleet, every sub commander, everything they could do. And maybe that's the reason we also started doing and keep subs going so much, is we kind of keep tabs on what's going on down there. Maybe
I'm with you. It should be much bigger. It should be some of the biggest news to ever fall on human ears, right?
Yeah,
but instead, people are worried about what Donald Trump, if he should be impeached or not. I'm like, he's out. His term's over.
Here's something that I find funny is, after just listening to what I said, it's funny how we have to be told it's okay, or that it's, in air quotes, official with the government saying it. But until then, and it's like, we have to stop judging people like that. Because we've all judged people before about, oh, that dude's a little crazy. I mean, even in the circles we run in, you're like, there's UFO dudes, and then there's like extreme UFO dudes, right? Like, they all have these crazy ideas. But then it turns out, like, now the UFO stuff is all real. The government's even said yes. So now your friends that are naysayers can't say, oh, no, that's not real. It is. But we don't need anybody to tell us it's real. It's just nice to have the government recording and releasing video, releasing documented proof that you're like, here it is. I mean, it should be something that should be on the news every night.
You would think.
Yes.
And yet there's still people like Eric Dubay, Mark Sargent, that still continue to say that the earth is flat.
Yes.
You know, where is that? When are they ever going to recognize that they're wrong?
But all the rest of the planets are round.
Did you ever see the video recently where the guy, he had some kind of instrument that would prove if the earth was round or flat, and he had and filmed himself like go up in an airplane, and then when he got the tool out and looked, all he does is go, oh, shit. And then the video cuts off.
No.
And that's it. I'll see if I can find it.
That sounds like the best.
Yeah. If you have any stories you want to share with me and Cam, don't forget, you can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Don't email us asking us if we want you to send the story. I'm giving you permission.
We want
now.
You to send it.
Send the story.
Send it.
If you don't feel like typing it out, you can call the hotline 888-393-BRUD, or that's 888-393-2783. You can follow Cam and me on all forms of social media. If I don't answer, it's probably because I lost my phone again. But I'll try to get back to you as fast as possible. I hope everybody out there has a good week. Stay out of trouble. Give somebody a hug. Wear your mask. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.